Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Turn in your New Testaments to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, as you are taking this week to prepare for Christmas and all the festivities that go with that. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. There are certain names that just go with Christmas. I mean, we have our very own Tiny Tim. I mean, that's just a very Christmassy name. He's not here today, but we have a Joseph. That's a pretty Christmassy name. We call him Joe, but his official name is Joseph. My own mother, Mary. You can't get much more Christmassy than Mary. It's a beautiful Christmas name. Christian, a young man who's been joining us on Wednesday nights. Christian is a Christmassy name. Sammy, Sam. Sam is a good Christmas name, right? As in, give me some more eggnog and Christmas cookies. We have a Carol. Carol, what a beautiful Christmassy name. Some of you may remember years ago, before she moved to Nashville, Marilyn Johnson had a sister, and her real name, her official name, was Christmas. Now, sometimes people called her Chris for short, but her official name was Christmas. And she has since passed away, and we miss her dearly. What a wonderful lady she was. But if Christmas were with us, I would sit her right next to Carol, and we would have Christmas Carol. Another name in my mind that resonates with Christmas is the name Charles. And I think part of that is because I'm a huge Charles Dickens fan, who is considered perhaps the greatest novelist of the Victorian era, and of course wrote A Christmas Carol that I absolutely love. I love every version of The Christmas Carol that comes out, even the animated version. It's a brilliant story told by Charles Dickens. Another Charles that kind of resonates with Christmas is Charles Wesley. I've been talking about Charles Wesley in this series for a couple of weeks, who could very well be the world's greatest hymn writer. He wrote over 6,500 hymns. Many of his hymns are in our hymnal, and whose birthday was yesterday. I don't know what you were doing yesterday, but did you stop to commemorate Charles Wesley's birthday yesterday? Probably not. December 18th, 1707, 314 years ago, Charles Wesley was born. Now, his brother John is considered the organizational genius behind the founding of Methodism. But scholars look back now and they can see that without the hymns of Charles, the Methodist movement may have gone nowhere. As one historian put it, the early Methodists were taught and led as much through Charles's hymns as they were John's pamphlets and sermons. John and Charles Wesley, instrumental in starting the Methodist church from which our church, the Church of the Nazarene, was birthed. The hymn that I have been having us focus on in this series is one of Charles' most famous hymns, and it's my personal favorite Christmas hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Two lines, and they go like this. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. It seems as if every word was just so meticulously, beautifully, divinely inspired that he just worded it so beautifully. And I want for us to focus on that phrase, joy of every longing heart. Joy of every longing heart. That sums up what this season is all about. That Christ is the joy that fills our heart. There's a line in the other Charles in A Christmas Carol that I'm also thinking about today. I just am so drawn to A Christmas Carol. But there's that scene towards the end of the film, towards the end of the novel, where Ebenezer Scrooge had been visited by, you know, the three spirits. The spirit of Christmas, past, present, and future. Spirit of Christmas, future, he's kind of a ghastly figure, and he lays it on thick. He's really trying to get a hold of Charles and to shake him and to really get him to consider his ways. There's a scene there where he takes him to a graveyard. And he takes him to a particular tombstone. And Ebenezer Scrooge is saying, why'd you bring me here? What's going on? And the spirit points to the snow-covered tombstone and motions for him to wipe off the snow so he can see who's buried there. With trepidation and trembling, Ebenezer Scrooge takes his hand and he wipes away the snow off the tombstone. And lo and behold, he sees his very own name there. And the implication is that if he doesn't change his ways, if he doesn't get the meaning of Christmas, this will soon be his fate. He's kneeling by the tomb and he's just crying and he's in anguish and he's all torn up and he says, I am not the man that I was. Why show me all this if I am past all hope? Say I may change all these things by an altered life. And then he says this, which just gets me every time I see it. He says, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will honor Christmas in my heart. Joy of every longing heart. You see, there's a deep longing in the human heart that can only be filled and satisfied and made whole by the Christ of Christmas. And when that longing is met, Christ becomes the joy of every longing heart. So yesterday, our family took family photos. We went to JCPenney at their little portrait studio. Valley River Mall, place was packed. Walk into JCPenney, and they have a sign hanging from their ceiling in the shape of a Christmas ornament. And the sign says, "Joy, peace, and love." And that was nice. It touched my heart. It warmed my heart. It's nice to see that kind of thing. You know, I get what they're saying. But I'm assuming JCPenney's concept of joy is much different than the biblical concept of joy. Maybe they're trying to point me to the 50% off merchandise sale over here. That might cause me some joy if I can save some money. I'm sure at corporate headquarters, their idea of joy is, how much money did they bring in this quarter? You know, so I get what they're saying. But biblical joy is so much different than JCPenney's understanding of joy. Christ's joy is different. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The shepherds are out in the fields. They're doing their shepherding thing. Then all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears to them, and they start shaking, and they're scared, and they're afraid. And the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." I did a little word study in the Greek. The Greek word for great in Luke chapter 2 verse 10 is the Greek word megas. Megas. M-E-G-A-S. Where we eventually get our English word mega. The Greek word for great is megas. Mega. The angel came to these shepherds and said, "I've got mega great news for you. I've got mega joy for you. I've got something for you that's vast in its intensity. This thing is enormous. This is esteemed highly for its importance. I have something mega for you. Great joy. You're not going to be able to wrap your arms around it. This is mind-blowing joy. It's bigger and grander than anything you can conceive of. Megas joy. I have great joy for you. This Christmas Eve, Friday, wherever you're at, I want you to receive the mega joy that Christ has for you. On Christmas Day, Saturday, wherever you are, receive the mega great joy that Christ has for you. Next Sunday, Christmas Sunday, as we gather for worship, the last Sunday of the year, I want for us to, again, receive the mega joy that Christ offers to us. Great joy. And it's certainly a joy that this world doesn't know about. I also did a very intensive word study on the Greek behind this phrase, "for all people." You know, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And I dug in the Greek because I really wanted to get the meaning behind that. You know what the original Greek means? It means for all people, for everyone, for all things, for each and everything. This mega joy is for all people, everywhere, for all time. Now, this is a kind of an unusual declaration because in the Old Testament, usually the revelations of God were for a distinct group of people. You know, when God appeared to Abraham, it was for his family and for his people. when God appeared to Moses. It was for a specific people and for a specific purpose. And we could go on and on and on and on. But here we open up the New Testament, and the revelation of God is not for a distinct group of people. It is now for all people. That includes us. So this mega joy that Christ offers is for every single person whose longing heart is looking to be filled with something of divine and tremendous value. The Greek word for joy is chahara. Chahara. That's the Greek word. It means a cheerfulness, a delight, a gladness. That even in the face of hardship and suffering, we still can have great joy, mega joy. There's a story told of a third century man who was anticipating death because of his faith. And as he was just days away from impending death due to his faith in Christ, he wrote these words to a friend. He said, "It's a bad world, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. And these people are called Christians. And I am one of them." Great joy, mega joy that we receive through Christ, that we can live with even when we're going through difficult times, hardships, sufferings, persecutions, and even death. So what the angel here proclaimed in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus now delivers on this claim. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. There's just a few verses here I want us to look at. You may be sitting there thinking, how do I get this joy? How do I get this mega joy? How can I be a part of this mega joy, this great joy that was proclaimed that very first Christmas? John 15, beginning at verse 9. And I want to read to you some of the teachings of Jesus. Powerful teachings of Jesus. John 15, beginning at verse 9. And listen to every word that Jesus teaches. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." That's key. That is so important. "Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and have remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Powerful teachings of the Lord. Jesus is saying, remain in me, stay attached to me, stay connected to me. That's why we preachers constantly hit home the spiritual disciplines of attending church and pray and fast and serve and give. All these things that we do keep us connected to the Lord. So remain in me, Jesus says, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I saw an illustration this last week that really helped solidify this for me in my mind. I think it was Thursday night. I had some downtime, and so I was flipping through the TV. Nothing was really good on. And I came across the History Channel, and they were doing this really neat series on, you know, major disasters that happen, man-made disasters, like why do bridges collapse and why do these buildings collapse? And, you know, they had these expert architects and engineers on talking about, like, for example, in Minneapolis. There was that I-35 bridge collapse, skyscraper collapses. It was very interesting. But they had an architect, an engineer, explain how modern skyscrapers are to be built. And here, I'll use this Kleenex box as an example. So obviously the foundation is very important. You've got to have a solid foundation. If you build a house or a building or anything on a loose foundation, it's no good. Well, Jesus is our foundation. But on that foundation, you have to build a solid core. So think of this as the solid core that sits on the foundation. And this thing is firm. I mean, this is the most important element of the skyscraper. This thing isn't going anywhere. Extending from this, then, is how the building is to be stabilized and built. And so, you know, if you have the seventh floor here, it's got to be attached to the core, and it's got to be secure. And it was very fascinating to me, but they really stressed the importance of this core. If this core isn't set just right, and if the levels are not attached to it just right, the whole thing comes crumbling down. And as he was talking, it occurred to me, this is what Jesus was talking about here in John 15. When Jesus says, remain in me, he is the core. He should be the core of our lives. And as we are attached to him, the core, everything's fine. And not only is everything fine, but he then gives us his love as we abide in his love, and then he gives us his joy. And that joy is complete. Jesus teaches here that there's nothing lacking. When we are attached to Jesus, the core, our joy is indeed complete. It's mega. It's great. Jesus must be the core of our lives, from which everything else flows. We must be attached, remain committed to Jesus, our core. Jesus says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. There is within each of our hearts a longing that will never be fulfilled until we attach ourselves to Jesus Christ and hold on and stay remain to him. I want for you to experience mega joy in your life. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, stay committed to Christ. He is the joy of every longing heart. Turn to responsive reading 161. Messiah brings the kingdom on this fourth Sunday of Advent. I'll read the regular print, you read the bold print with me. And then we will conclude our time together by reflecting on that great Wesley hymn. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. As Jesus is the core of your life, you will truly experience His love, His joy, His peace. Everything that Christ offers us is available to us as we abide in Him, as we stay connected to Him, as He is the core. And the promise of Jesus is that this mega joy in us will be made complete.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.